The following message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress. Good morning, everybody. So now we're getting ready to venture into Song of Solomon chapter 3. And I promised that I would remind us why we're going through this journey. And there are a lot of things that are happening in us as we comb through the pages of the Song of Solomon. But I wanted to remind us that Jesus said in Matthew 24:11 that as lawlessness abounds, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And we want to make sure we have all agreed that lawlessness abounds. Every day it's something new. And we want to be that church where Jesus does not say to us, I know your works, but this one thing I have against you, you've abandoned your first love. We don't want that. And if I'm going to give today's message a title, I'm titling today's message, The Call to Come Higher. What is enough for you? And when we started this series on the Song of Solomon, we stated that we were going to be able to identify the various seasons in our walk with the Lord. And we're learning how to respond to these seasons the way Jesus intends us to respond. And we also, I'm pulling some nuggets from the past 2 or 3 weeks that I think are really important. If we can take these away and just meditate on these things, it will help this sink into our spirit really good. And in spite of the season we're in, you know, we may be in wilderness, but during the wilderness we get weak. But Jesus sees us the same. He loves you in your weakness the same. His grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. So long we're going forward and walking forward towards Him, enduring to the end. We learn that we need to learn how to enjoy this relationship with the Lord, sitting at His feet. That is part of maturing in love for God, learning how to enjoy the relationship, just like Mary did. The Bible said, Mary sat at His feet, listened and received His word, which we talked about that in chapter 1. The kisses of His mouth is the word of God, the word of God. And Jesus said about Mary that she chose the good part in that which lasts forever. Our identity and our purpose is not what we do with our hands, but what we pursue with our hearts. Those are a couple of points from the past couple of weeks. But in order for us now to understand where the Shulamite, the maiden, is going, I need to build a bridge from chapter 2 to chapter 3. So we can get the full picture. So at the end of chapter 2, the Shulamite starts to understand that the king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, he is majestic and beautiful and a conqueror. And if you look at Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, this is what she says. Now, this is the Shulamite speaking. She says, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. He's leaping victoriously upon the mountains. The mountains represent the mountains in our life. We know scripture talks about the mountain. Jesus said that if you speak to this mountain with the faith of a mustard seed, it will move. So now he is victorious. She's seeing him as victorious over the mountains. You know, when we say that scripture in the Psalms, I'll look unto the hills where my help cometh from, for my help cometh from the Lord. We're looking high, and that's where he is. He is victorious over the mountains in our life. And now he makes this invitation to her in chapter 2, verse 10. She says, "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away.'" Now he is extending an invitation for her to go up to the mountain. And here she was, all comfortable in chapter 2, under the apple tree, delighting herself, saying, "Oh, his fruit is so sweet to my taste. Oh, I lie down, I sit down under the shade of the apple tree, and he is like an apple tree among the trees of the woods." She had learned how to delight herself in his presence, very easily tapping into the presence of God. And now he's saying, "Come higher, come higher." And that "come higher" can be the call to us to greater faith, newer faith, a new assignment. New loving obedience. I am learning from this book, and I knew this, but I didn't know it. From now on, when I start to say we have to obey the Lord, loving obedience, I will lovingly obey the Lord, because all that I do comes out of my first priority. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. That is God's first priority and first commandment. So, new loving obedience, come higher. Now he challenges her, and guess what she does? Solomon 2:17. She responds and she says, "Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of Bethel." She turns him away. She says, "Turn." Why does she do this? Why does she tell him, "Go without me"? I do not believe she does this out of not loving God. It's clear, not loving the king. It's clear by chapter 1 and 2. She's in love, but her love has not matured yet. In an element, there's an element to immature love that has a streak of fear. It's not rebellion. It's more like a streak of fear. And I'm not that athletic, but I can tell from mountain climbing, it's risky. It takes you out of your comfort zone. You have to have tenacity to climb a mountain. You have to be rigorously, physically fit. There's some exertion and some discipline that goes with going up the mountain. And I think about that in the natural, and then there's just a little bit of element of fear. Can I do this? Can I not do this? So now we are here in chapter 3 of Song of Solomon, identifying that the king has invited her to come higher. And here she was content in being under the apple tree. And Jesus is always wanting us to go higher with him. He loves us so much that he wants to share his secrets with us. He wants us to walk in the deeper things of God. It's what the Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, said that the spirit of wisdom and revelation be upon you, that you know the deeper things of God. He tells secrets to those who fear him. And now what's happened with her is the king, or Jesus, has called her to rise up, and in that calling, now it has changed the complete dynamics of their relationship. When Jesus raises the standard and he wants us to walk in faith and loving obedience in different seasons of our life, we need to respond. We need to respond. When we're sleeping in our bed and in the middle of the night, he whispers and he says, "Wake up, I want to tell you something." Wake up, he wants to tell you something. I have had that happen to me more times than I can remember. And I have to admit, there have been times where I said, "Yes, Lord," and I'll stay in my bed expecting to hear when he was calling me to rise up. And this is what happens with us. When Jesus starts to call us to rise up to the mountain, we either go up or we're going backwards. Really, in this relationship, it's a dynamic relationship with we have the Lord. There's a lot of synergy. If you stay in the same place, you will go backwards. There's no staying stuck in the Lord. There's no staying stuck in Him. And besides that, He is the God of new things. Every morning He says, my mercies are new every morning. And what we did and how we tapped into the presence of God and what we experienced with God 20 years ago is no good anymore. He wants to give you fresh manna every day. Every day. He told them in the wilderness, you're in the wilderness, guess what? Fresh manna is His intention for your life. Every day, He said, pick and choose what you're going to eat this day. And then tomorrow you wake up and you pick for today, for tomorrow. Each day, fresh manna. Man shall not live of bread alone, but of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But the Lord is saying, listen, I have a new season. A new season of loving obedience. And I can tell you the cost of obedience is so high. It's high. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you family. It may cost you employment. It may cost you. According to the scripture, it may cost you your life. And we know it is costing the lives of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East. Because they declare that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I can say this, the cost of disobedience is higher. But the reward is exceedingly great. Exceedingly great. Let's not be these believers that walk around in this spiritual boredom because we don't feast and we don't come and look for fresh manna every day. Listen to this awesome scripture. I want to speak this into you in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 43, 18 through 21. This is a New Living Translation. And the Lord says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. You know, we go around carrying baggages and those little foxes Joshua spoke about last week and hurts from the past. Let's stop remembering those things and let the Lord heal our hearts and move forward with Him. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? He's asking, don't you know I am the God of new things and I'm going to do a new thing in your life? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I, the Lord, gives waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He said, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This is Song of Solomon language. My beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am His. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. New things. So now, the Shulamite, the maiden, she's getting ready to experience the king in a new way. Listen, chapter 3, verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him. I sought the one I love, but I did not find him. Oh, wait a minute. What happened? Chapter 1 and 2. She would seek him. Immediately she was delighted in his presence. This time he's hiding his face from her. He's hiding from her. She was accustomed to seeking him in the comfort of the apple tree, under the shade of the apple tree. And now she has to get up. See, by night on my bed I sought him. And he's saying, no, I didn't call you to your bed. I didn't call you to your bed. This is a new experience. She wasn't supposed to be in her bed. He had called her to go to the mountain. And I want to tell you, when we have mountains in our life, we can still call Jesus the one we love. We can still call Jesus victorious. And He is victorious in every area of our life, even if we haven't had breakthrough yet. And I understand there are mountains that seem out of reach. It can be greater faith. It can be greater loving obedience. And this is why it's a mountain. But remember, your Redeemer, the King of Kings, He is above the mountains like a gazelle, victorious. There's victory in Him. So she says that, by night on my bed, I sought the one I loved. I sought Him, but I did not find Him. But she continued to seek Him through what was familiar in the past season. And she doesn't feel His presence. He's requiring a deeper, loving obedience. And I can tell you, when we don't feel anything, we must trust the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. The word of the Lord is, He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And God requires, yes, He requires that we stir ourselves up, that we take hold of Him, especially when He hides His face. If you read chapter 3 of Song of Solomon, He wanted to meet her in the secret places of the cliff. Let me see your face. He says, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. I found this beautiful scripture in Jude 20 and 21. Complete Song of Solomon language. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Loving God, this is what it's saying. Beloved, you are mine. Keep yourself in my love. Stir yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit, so that you may endure to the end until eternal life. So awesome. So now she gets some tenacity and she builds herself up and says, I will rise now and go about the city. And that is exactly what we need to do. You speak to yourself and say, okay, get up. Seek the Lord. Go anywhere and everywhere possible. Be with those that speak about Him. Be with those that walk with Him hand in hand. Go. You will find Him. Look, she says. She's going around. You can sense the desperation she has. She says, I will arise now, I said, and go about the city in the streets and in the squares, and I will seek the one I love. I sought Him. I will seek the one I love. See, the lack of sensing His presence in her life made her desperate. It motivated her to get up out of her bed and go about the city. And then in verse 4, she finds Him. She says, scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. I held Him and I would not let Him go until I had brought Him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. See, she went out looking, and then she found Him, and she said, this time I'll not let Him go. Just like Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he said, I will not let you go till you bless me. Till you bless me. The woman with the that reached for the hem of the garment of Jesus, she knew, if I just touch that hem, if I just touch that hem, I'll be healed. And God does not refuse us when we seek Him. He will not refuse you. Now she's got this tenacity and this hunger that came out of a season of struggle. And I know some of us are going through it and we're going through the struggle, but praise God. The struggle causes us to be desperate and seek Him with all our being. I held Him and I would not let Him go until I brought Him to my mother's house. Do you know, she brings Jesus to places that He, or the King, in our case Jesus, she brought the King to a place where He would not go without her obedience. I start to think about this, about the mother's chambers, and You know, I have sleepovers. Kids come over and sleep over. And little girl next door was at my home. And Zoe walked into my room. I let the children play. They can play in my bonus room. They can play in their room and have fun. Limited access to the living room. But, you know, they could walk around the house, be in the kitchen. But nobody's allowed in my room without permission. That's my room. That's Joshua and Ma, and that's our room. And that room's to be respected. That room is ours. So Zoe walks in the room, and the little girl next door, she stands right at the threshold of the door, and she just stood there and looked at me. See, she was waiting for me to give her permission to come into the room. Jesus will go only where we invite him. Only where we invite him. There are inner parts in our heart that we need to invite Jesus. The psalmist said it. He said, search my heart. That was an invitation. Lord, he said, the psalmist said, you desire, it's your delight that there be truth in the inward parts of my being. That's by invitation. We must invite him to come in to the chambers of our being and cleanse and heal and deliver and set free. You see, this is, now she is, the Shulamite, is maturing in loving obedience. When we start to say, Lord, show me, we're maturing in loving obedience. Okay, so now she's found him, and let's see what she says. Verses 6 through 11, chapter 3, and I will read. Who is this coming out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrance powers? Behold, it's Solomon's couch, with 60 valiant men around it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear of the night. Of the woods of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a palanquin. He made its pillars of silver, its support of gold, its seat purple, its interior paved with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him. On the day of his wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. Wow. See, the Shulamite sees this coming king out of the wilderness in all his glory. Just like Israel when they came out of the wilderness in all their glory and crossed into the promised land. After they had fed and ate manna every day, they're walking in victory into a new season. But just like Jesus came out of the wilderness of this world victorious, she sees him, the king, coming with his processional. He's there with his mighty men, with his soldiers who hold swords. He's on his couch, quote, his wedding chariot. Listen, she said, on the day of his wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. The day of his wedding. We need to understand. This was a beautiful processional. King Solomon was the richest man in the world. There had to have been such opulence in those uniforms, banners and flags and pageantry as he came in his palanquin, and they were carrying him out, and she saw him coming out of the wilderness. And this is the same way Jesus is going to come back to this world. He is coming back, and he is calling us to live this life here and now in preparation for the great wedding day, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, this is so awesome. Listen, this is the Greek word parousia or parousia. I'm not a Greek scholar. I learned this word, and when I first learned this word, I fell in love with this word. I just kept on saying it. Parousia, parousia of the Lord, the parousia of the Lord. And the word literally means his royal victorious presence in relation to when he comes back. This was a word Paul used it when he spoke about the coming king. It was a Roman word. It was used in the Roman world for the ceremonial arrival of an emperor. I want us, because we don't live in these times, I want us to paint a picture of what a glorious processional this is going to be. The second coming will be the processional of processionals, and we will be singing the song of songs, and we will see King Jesus. And if the Lord tarries and he does not come before we pass, we are called to this processional. Oh, look it. Let's go to Revelations 19, 6 through 17. Listen, it's just so amazing. So awesome. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's us, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen are the righteous acts of the saints. We are going to have these garments that our imagination right now can't even fathom the beauty of the processional, of when that sky opens and he comes and we come with him. And then he said to me, write, blessed are you, Maranatha, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. This is going to be the greatest processional the earth has ever seen. God is going to come and fulfill the redemption in all things. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And the trees of the fields will clap their hands in praise to God. And the cedars of Lebanon will bow low. And the animals in creation, everything, God will come and restore every injustice, everything that's gone wrong, he will make right. And all of us will say, he is the King. He is the Lord of Lords. And look, so awesome. He said, and now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, the chariot, the couch. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. And his eyes were like a flame, and on his head were many crowns. Listen, verse 11, Song of Solomon. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him. And on his head were many crowns, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on the white horses. And now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he strikes the nations. And he himself will rule them with an iron rod. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is who we love. This is who we serve. Can you see why the Lord does not want our hearts to grow cold? Why he instructs us to feed on his word? Why he's calling us to come higher? Beloved, oh, we need to endure to the end. We need to persevere in the times of difficulty. We need to climb the mountains, because if the Lord tarries, we are invited to the most awesome processional that this world has ever seen. The stars will sing the glory of God. Everything will resonate in praise to him. Everything that he created, everything. Let's pray. Let's stand. Oh God, let this word burn in our hearts. Seal it upon our heart and upon our spirit. I speak to Maranatha in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive the word of the Lord. Let it be imprinted in every fiber of your being. Lord, that we walk in the love of God. Love for you and love for your people and love for the call of God. We thank you, Lord, that you're restoring the first priority in our lives to love the Lord our God. In Jesus' mighty name.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnion was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.